in making its decisions. The government shouldn't do so with an eye toward helping one religious sect or another. It should be neutral. And it shouldn't muck about in the affairs of the religious realm.
Former Attorney General Bill Barr speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Their brand of secularism is really about destroying and subsuming the religious sphere altogether. And that's what I say. The threat today is not that religious people are out to establish a theocracy in the United States. It is that militant secularists are trying to establish an atheocracy.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Bill Barr making the case against the progressive assault on the U.S. Constitution from this year's Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Granted, it is an enormous job and undoubtedly a very difficult job to monitor and to shepherd all of the information and the misinformation that people see on social media. It's got to be a terrible job to do it. And it only gets more difficult with every passing year as social media expands and expands. But why, when social media tend to ban something or to remove something, why does it always seem to cut one way? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about big tech censorship, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Moore. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute, and author of several books, including The Sexual State. Jennifer, welcome back.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
Tell us about your recent experience with censorship by big tech.
Well, we woke up one morning to find a message in our inbox that YouTube took down three of our posts, three YouTube videos, and we got no explanation until it was already had already been done. You know, the posts were gone. Fortunately, we had them backed up, and we have alternative accounts on Rumble and some of the other alternative media sites. Yeah, and then we got this vague explanation that we were spreading medical misinformation, and so therefore, you know, these offending posts had to be taken down. So at least they didn't shut down our whole channel, Todd, but they took down three posts that had to do with the link between abortion and breast cancer. And we suspect that what happened was that they have their little bots, their little robots searching for keywords. And if you've got abortion and breast cancer within a certain number of words of each other, they flag it as being, you know, questionable content. So that's the short version of what happened to us, Todd.
Are you able to appeal this censorship?
You know what? We didn't even try. I mean, because it's so random. It's so arbitrary. We prefer to forge ahead than to try to argue with these guys. So that was our policy. Maybe you could, but we chose to talk about it and tell our followers about it and help people understand that this is what's going on, rather than to pretend like it's a fair fight between us and YouTube.
Why doesn't YouTube want your viewers to know about the link between abortion and breast cancer? It's not like you're the only ones talking about it.
Well, you know what? Here's what they told us, Todd. They sent us this little boilerplate explanation. And it says, we wanted to let you know our team reviewed your content and we think it violates our medical misinformation policy, blah, blah, blah. We have removed the following content. What our policy says, and here's the money quote, YouTube does not allow content about abortion that contradicts expert consensus from local health authorities or the World Health Organization and poses a serious risk of bodily harm or death. So that's what they said as the reason that they took this down. What I suspect is the real reason is that they don't want people to question the idea that abortion is always safe as long as it's legal. If there are risks and hazards associated with abortion, that kind of destroys their narrative that abortion is no more significant than having a tooth pulled, you know. And so I think that's what it's about. They're propping up their sexual revolutionary ideology that says that as long as it's legal, it should be perfectly safe.
Why did it take almost a year for YouTube to block the content?
Now, that is a good question. That is a really good question, because one of these interviews was posted in January 2021, and the other two were posted last October of 2021. And we put them up in honor of October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We thought it'd be a good idea to put up the idea that there's a, you know, so there could be a link between abortion and breast cancer. If you're trying to prevent breast cancer, people are entitled to know this information. Todd, I can only speculate, but I'm pretty sure that the reason is that the recent Dobbs decision has got the sexual revolutionaries running scared and getting more aggressive. They're realizing that we are not a paper tiger. We're not just harmless people yipping at their heels a little bit. They're feeling a little bit more threatened and a little bit more under the gun. And so they want to prop up the abortion narrative wherever they possibly can. And I think they, like I said, put this into their little automatic program that goes around searches for things. And they found us and we got caught in it. That's what I'm guessing, Todd.
Tell us about the censorship of users that have used the word groomer.
Oh, you know what? Now, that is a very interesting thing that is starting to happen. People are finally catching on that a lot of what goes on in sex ed programs in schools and public schools is sexual grooming. It's basically setting kids up for being sexualized and for being more likely to comply with somebody's sexual wishes than they otherwise would be. And the particular place where the term groomer has become, what shall we say, radioactive, is in the whole discussion over transgenderism. And there are some people who are saying that the content of some of the sex ed, some of the books, some of the ways in which people are talking to young people online and chat groups and things like that, that it amounts to sexual grooming. So starting to use that term, of course, these sexual revolutionaries hate that. They hate the idea anybody would accuse them of that. And so rather than defend themselves and say, gosh, we're not trying to sexualize children. We're not trying to talk them into something they don't want to do. No, we're perfectly innocent. Rather than do that, what they have started to do, Todd, is to basically, again, send out the bots, send out the little automatic censor machines, you know, that whenever the term groomer is used in conjunction with transgenderism, that the person's Twitter account is either blocked or shut down or otherwise interfered with. So that's the context of that whole thing. And if you're saying something that's really innocent, you should be able to explain yourself and defend it. But instead, what Twitter is doing is sending out an automatic, routine way of blocking even the use of the word, whether the word's being used correctly or not. You know, they're not even inquiring. It's just, you can't use this word because we don't like it. It makes us look bad. Honestly, the fact that they have resorted to that does not actually help their case, in my opinion. I think the optics are terrible, right? This is not the behavior of an innocent lamb, in my opinion. But that's what they're doing. For whatever reason, they think this is a good idea. That's what they're doing, Todd.
Does big tech apply its rules and its standards evenly to all controversial ideas?
It seems like not. No, let's just say no, they don't apply it evenly or in an even-handed manner, you know? No, of course not.
Rod Dreher has described the actions of big tech companies in censoring speech as soft totalitarianism. Do you agree with that?
I don't think we need the word soft here, okay? As you know, Todd, I've been saying for years, I've said it in print in The Sexual State, that the sexual revolution is a totalitarian movement. And there's nothing soft about it. You know, you can use that word. I don't know why you would add that adjective to it, but they are trying to get into your head. It's not enough that they prohibit certain actions or prohibit certain words. They are down to prohibiting certain thoughts or certain things you're not supposed to think. And the reason they have to do that is because the ideology they're trying to inflict on the society is an irrational ideology that cannot stand on its own. You cannot build a society around the idea that sex does not make babies and that men and women have no differences between them that are worth speaking of, that male-female differences are completely socially constructed, and so therefore you can construct and reconstruct and deconstruct any way you want. You cannot build a society around those ideas. And so since they're already committed to doing something that's impossible, they've got to crack down on people who dissent. And that means they want to get inside your head. And that's what this is all about. Really, honestly, the whole purpose and point of transgenderism is to force people to say something that they know isn't true, because that's the ultimate mark of a totalitarian movement. You know, if we have to say Bruce Jenner is a woman, then we have to say anything. You know, if they can make you say Bruce Jenner is a woman, Richard Levine is a woman, they can make you talk like that. They can make you say and do anything. And when you know in your heart that you've said something untrue, then that has the added burden, the added psychic burden for you of knowing that you betrayed truth in some way. And so you become steadily weaker and weaker every time you do that. Well, they know this. And they have this is part of what they're attempting to do. That's the price of creating the fantasy ideology. And we can see, I think it's pretty clear, that they're deeply committed to this ideology, no matter how irrational it seems, no matter how many people get hurt. They just keep going down, taking the next step and the next step and the next step to tighten the screws to paint the picture that they want to paint. And in order to make that happen, Todd, they have got to have scapegoats. See, because it's not possible to create this world that they want. So they need a lot of power. They need a lot of propaganda. And even with that, it still won't work. So therefore, they have to have somebody to blame when it doesn't work. And the somebody they're going to blame is you and me and other Christians. It's those Christians. Those Christians would just get with the program. None of this would be happening. See, so that's the role that we've been assigned in this whole drama. And I think it's important for us to keep our heads and keep our wits about it so that we understand what's going on and don't flinch in the face of this attempt to do the impossible.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute and author of several books, including The Sexual State. You can purchase this book and find out more about the Ruth Institute on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Jen, thanks.
You're very welcome.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Mary, the Mother of Jesus with Dr. James Lee. We'll get a French perspective on the unrest in the U.S. from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow Him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.